can prevent entire nuclear annihilation.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
And you just heard Outbreak by Saber Pulse. We've just been goofing around the studio for the last, like 20 minutes.
Trying to do that one thing you just heard.
Yeah, that little, Fallout that PSA.
Yeah, that little Fallout PSA. I just kind of did, the voice for it. And then he's like, that's great. And then he started doing all this stuff for it. Cut to 10, 15 minutes later. And I'm just across the desk staring at him.
Most of those stingers that's the proper name for it, stinger, right? Like
the little sound clips.
Yeah, little sound bites. Those sound bites are mostly, they're mostly us just sort of goofing around, and that's like our mic check.
Pretty much.
Whenever we do a mic check, that's kind of how we do it. We just say some dumb stuff, and a lot of it gets cut because it's obscene and vulgar. But that one was good. I thought you did a great job. So welcome to the Experience Points Radio Show. This is a show where we drop nerd and geek knowledge on you every Wednesday night from 9 to 10. This is another auspicious occasion where we get together in the studio. We're actually a little sweaty right now.
Yeah, our arms are heavy.
We helped... I can't. I heard a really good version of that. I'll have to play it for you. We can't play it on the air, but
of course
it was pretty much like a Ludacris mix of that. It's not Ludacris, but it's something else.
We were helping some people move some stuff. He's got some. We're not going to say who it is because we don't want to get him in trouble or anything like that. Because I'm not sure, but we're helping some guys move some stuff.
Right? Yeah, we were moving some stuff, and I was just walking over here and got picked up. Yeah. Sort of like.
Well, I was helping him out.
I didn't even know that you were outside. I was reading some material for the show today, and I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna be late.
You were doing what you were supposed to, and I'm out there helping my friend.
Yeah, and then you're like, hey, MG. I'm like, oh, I guess we're doing this now. We're moving people.
We're happy to do it. I gave you the option, which it really societally, you really didn't have an option.
I had an obligation.
To help my fellow people. You said, do you need help or anything like that? And I said, if you want to help.
You gave me the option.
And that's the thing. That's an out, but it's not really an out.
You know what, though?
You can't say, oh, good, never mind then, and leave.
I gained some experience points by helping move that stuff.
At this point, oh, my gosh.
So thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
He said the name of the show.
That's it. Thanks for hanging out tonight. We have a pretty awesome show planned. We're going to talk a lot about No Man's Sky because the big update, the 1.5 update, dropped a couple days ago, or yesterday, rather.
Yes.
And we're also going to talk a little bit about Grand Theft Auto. But there's a few other things that we're going to kind of talk about just in the sphere of doing stuff. We are going to do that after two songs, though, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about all that. We're going to intro with History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2. Those are the two songs that I talked about, and then we're going to come back and we're talk about what we did last week.
Okay.
Break into a couple other topics.
And then we'll have a live knife fight in the studio.
A knife fight. I was hoping for a bat fight. The bat fight's the true equalizer.
Bat fight. It's a good-natured bat fight that rarely gets out of hand.
No one ever gets that. And I was like, that's some old college humor, funny or die type stuff with
it's
Will Ferrell
bat
and
fight. Craig Rowett. Oh God.
Really, really good. So anyway, History Repeating Part 1 and 2, Part 2 by The Megas. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
Water. Refreshing. Southeastern Zone, 90.9 KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm still MG.
I'm always going to be Dustin, I'm always going to be me, baby.
That's it. Okay. I wouldn't have it any other way. You just heard History Repeating Part 1 and Part 2 by The Megas. Let's jump right into talking about what we did in the last week, 2 weeks, whatever tickles anatomical fancies.
Yeah.
Dustin, what have you been up to?
Well, I have been, one, I pre-ordered Fallout 76 because I want to see what beta access is like. I pre-ordered for Xbox One. They'll be getting it before anyone else because I guess we're still doing that in 2018, but whatever.
This is still a thing to tout.
The fact that everyone was weirded out about it, I'm like, yeah, that time period of doing that kind of stuff is over, I think.
Well,
Bethesda has a better relationship with Xbox than they do with Sony, to be frank.
Oh, yeah.
And cross-platform. Like, you know, Todd Howard's kind of getting a lot of... He could tell when he was talking about Sony and without the cross-platform play, like, they would have liked... He was getting a little annoyed talking. He was annoyed when he was talking with
Let's
Sony.
Talk about that. Let's tangent for that for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, well, the thing you're referring to is that most recently, I think, with Switch and Xbox... For Minecraft,
yeah,
and
Rocket League,
Rocket League was the big one that everyone kind of got on board most immediately. Where Microsoft with Xbox and Nintendo with Switch had a Play Together campaign launch,
right?
Where it pretty much said, because I don't think Switch and the other two are in competition with one another.
No,
it sounds strange, but if you wanted to play Wolfenstein. The platform that you get it for is one of the two graphically mainstream consoles,
right.
Or for PC.
Right. Switch understands it caters to a different demographic.
I mean, it's not the case that, like, okay, Wolfenstein exists on the Switch, but you get that if all you have is a Switch, and you already have the Switch, and you want to play this game that came out. If you can play it on any other medium, well, it came out before, like, that version a long time ago. Like, you can play it almost, it's instantly... You know, consumable,
right?
And it's graphically superior on other platforms. So I don't really feel like Xbox and Switch or PlayStation 4 and Switch are directly competing for your eyeballs.
Right.
I know most things are competing for your time, but you have a lot of time, and if you want to play a game, and it's on the Switch, you're going to play it on the Switch.
Right. It's the match between those is Xbox and PS4.
Right.
That's where that match lies. It does not lie between Xbox and Switch, and I think Microsoft and Nintendo both being wise to that, and both, you know,
that Play Anywhere campaign is Play Together. I think Play Anywhere is Windows and Xbox.
Yeah,
you buy it on one, you get it on the other.
That was a good idea too.
And that's fantastic because Microsoft realized, like, look, if you already are running Windows, we already have you.
Yeah,
you already have the Microsoft Store. We don't need to get you again with an Xbox. We'd prefer, but, you know, let's be honest, you're going to play with an Xbox controller. We're going to sell you that hardware. We're going to sell you these games. And we want to make it really easy for you to, if you have friends on Xbox and you want to play with Xbox with them, you can do Play Anywhere.
I played Resident Evil 7 on my PC and on my Xbox.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to be able to go, oh, my saves are, like, right here.
Right. And you don't have to rebuy the game.
You don't have to rebuy it.
That was another thing. I hate that whenever they do an HD remix or I don't know how many times I'm going to buy Zone of the Enders or how many times I'm going to buy Shadow of the Colossus. Or how many times I'm going to buy Kingdom Hearts, or how many times I'm going to buy a Street Fighter, you know, compilation, or currently now it's Mega Man X. Like, you know, I practically own all the Mega Man X's, and I think I'm going to go buy the Legacy Collection so they can play it on computer.
And then with Sony not having any kind of, you know, for the PC game is becoming more popular.
Yes,
it's really developing. I have people, you know, my dad, my sister are getting interested. Mm-hmm. My roommate is getting interested into PC gaming because the learning curve for it, one, is definitely mitigated. Two, these generations of people, we are a generation of people that is far more computer savvy than, you know.
Right, we grew up with computers now.
Right, we're 10 or 15 years ago where people were like, how does this work?
Yep.
We understand.
Gone are the days of trying to install Quake or trying to install Doom, and you're just like, I need a degree for this.
Right, like, and that's the thing. I know how to load up DOSBox, C drive, and, you know, go to, you know, I know how to do all that.
Right.
Most people I know, if I could tell them where to go and everything, could figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And... So it's the fact that it's becoming more accessible and everything and not such a scary thing. And in fact, it's kind of like getting like a dune buggy, you know? A dune buggy, you can mess around with the parts. It doesn't have a hood of the engine. Sure, it doesn't come from, you know, a fancy factory.
Right.
But, you know.
It's fundamentally the same.
It's fundamentally the same. It's more flexible. You repair it easier.
I imagine somebody out there, like Dune Buggy Association.
Oh, I'm
like,
sure somebody's going to correct me.
Them doggone boys don't know what they're talking about.
I can't think of a better metaphor. Yeah. I'm sure there's one out there.
So the Sony and PlayStation 4 doesn't allow crossplay, and it's kind of getting back to the main topic.
Right.
It doesn't allow crossplay with any of the other consoles.
No.
So Switch and Xbox, you can play certain games. Yeah, it's not everything.
Yeah.
But because I mean, let's just be honest. This doesn't mean that you'll be able to play Splatoon on Splatoon 2.
It has to be consoles that came out for both of them that have a prearranged agreement.
Right.
For
games
this.
Like Rocket League, games
and,
like
right.
Minecraft.
And it's usually up to the developer on something like
right.
that.
Right. But I don't know.
Or the publisher.
I don't know why you would want to. You wouldn't want to like inhibit people from playing together.
Oh, absolutely.
The community is, and that's something that, you know, when we talk about like, oh yeah, you know, do you play on? I was having a chat with my brother today about Titanfall 2, and he's like, mm-hmm. man, you need to get Titanfall 2. It's only $7 for the Xbox. And I said, I already own it for PC. Like, why would I get it for Xbox? And he goes, well, we're playing on Xbox. And I'm like, can we not play together now all of a sudden? And it seems like such a normal thing
yeah.
that has always existed. We're starting to break those barriers down.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's a very smart thing Xbox is doing, because I think they realize that, you know, even if we sell it on Xbox One, we sell it on PC, we win anyway. But it's like the more people buy games, and being part of a community is a lot of times while people will buy games is because your friends want to play with you. That's a big factor. And if you can't play with them already because you have a different system, well, okay, well, the game's not sold then.
You know, it's interesting, though, that Nintendo, for as closed off as Nintendo and as quirky, I'm going to say quirky because
they make
a lot of really quirky decisions about how they run their platforms.
Uh-huh.
And you're right. They're starting to change a little bit, which gives me a lot of hope for how they're going to be running things in, say, 10 or 15 years.
Yeah,
you know, in 10 or 15 years, or even 5 years, in 5 years, when we see the next hardware iteration of the Switch, hopefully that actually happens. Hopefully they don't just...
Would like to see another hardware upgrade, a better kickstand, and like a better charging port area that's not at the bottom, a couple of different things.
It would be nice for them to condense the dock. I don't feel like the dock really needs to... I don't know if the dock is a full-fledged thing. Like, when you look at what the functional pieces of the dock are, it's literally just USB-C, and that just parses out the power.
Yeah,
and
part
HDMI.
Of me thinks you can reduce a lot of that.
Well, people already have. That's the thing. People, if you have a dock, you can buy, like, these 3D-printed molds, and it's literally... It's like a nice little kickstand that allows you to hook up HDMI and literally take the chip out of the dock, because that's the part you're paying $70 for, $80 for.
Yeah.
The rest is just hollow plastic. And they were saying, you know, if you don't have a protector, get a protector. But if you don't, because that was the thing that's still happening, where the docks are scratching the switches. When it just sounds crazy, like you didn't try, just there's not a machine in some factory somewhere putting a fake switch in and out.
If it gives it scratches.
Just to do like wear testing. Yeah. But it's awesome that Nintendo's actually woken up to sort of, you know, that. We don't see that out of these big manufacturers, especially like, you know, we see more of like what Sony's doing out of things like, out of companies like Nintendo. And we're not seeing that now.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. I wouldn't hold my breath on a Nintendo console, because I'm just thinking back to my history. Nintendo really doesn't like to change their consoles once they're released. They stuck to their guns with that Wii, didn't they?
They stuck to the guns with the Wii, but look at the slightly more mobile consoles. Look at the DSs. I mean,
they changed those.
They did iterate through the DS and DS XL.
That's a good point. Yeah, fair point. I guess it depends on the mentality they're going at. Are they going at there's a home console mentality or
that's
mobile
the thing.
Mentality?
Notice that the DS is still, the 3DS XL and all that, that's still being produced. Games are still being written for it. We have not combined, even though virtually, like a DS, I think, is $200 now, but only recently, like in the last year and a half, it dropped from $300 to $200.
Yeah.
So that the Switch could stand out as the more premium, not a mobile console. It's a home console that can be mobile.
Right.
You know, you don't have hours and hours and hours of gameplay in this thing. You've got a few hours of gameplay.
Yeah.
Versus the if you want a lot more, the 3DS is the way to go, or the 2DS XL or whatever is the way to go. So if they're not counting this as a mobile platform, then maybe it will follow the same trend as the Wii and the Wii U and every console.
I can't think of one where they've updated.
Well, you know what? The Nintendo, the Famicom and the NES, they got the small version, and then the Super Nintendo got the revised version as well.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, then the N64 didn't change form factor. The GameCube didn't change form factor. Nope. The Wii U, none of that changed.
No, the Wii didn't even change after the fact. The only thing that we like had was progressive scan, even in the HD world, and they didn't upgrade to that.
No, you know, I actually have it's called Wii to HDMI. I did a dongle
for
PS2 as well. Mm-hmm. You plug it in the back and you plug HDMI into it, and it allows you to connect your Wii to HDMI, and it's 1080p or 720p or whatever the max resolution was. And it's not so much for the quality as much as it is a everything's HDMI now.
Right.
Everything connects via, you know, unless you're a DisplayPort guy. But I mean, everything goes to HDMI, so it's for convenience sake. It's not for quality. It is quality, but it's more for convenience
sake. I think I'm liking how they're growing as far as their games and their availability. Working with Ubisoft for Rayman, Mario.
And Donkey Kong is being put in there. It's like there's a lot of cross collaboration on a lot of normally first party exclusive titles or characters. They've got the one where you build your own ships. Star Fox is in that, which is insane. So,
well, understanding that. After the, I understand Nintendo's mentality completely about how protective they were of their first party, because I know my history.
Oh yeah,
and I remember the Philips CDI games.
Yep,
I was there when the Great War was raged.
It's like they don't even tell you the truth about it. There's an awesome. We need to do a separate sort of like back in history show about the another one. We did the video game crash of the 80s, but. I think it was 82, 83, 85. I can't remember. I think the comeback was 85. But we'll have to do another show about that because I love talking about the video game crash so much that I can't remember the exact year, right?
It was 84.
I thought it was 83.
I want to say 83, 84.
Because at that point, we had the Atari was freaking out and everyone was creating video games for that console so much that it saturated the market. You couldn't sell the consoles. You couldn't sell the games.
Yeah.
This is where we got the landfill with E.T. Galaga.
It wasn't, and that's the thing. E.T. is blamed for being the worst game.
It wasn't E.T.
And that's the thing. E.T. gets a bad rep. Not good by any stretch of the imagination.
I would argue Pac-Man for the 2600 was way worse because it promised to be something, and you had an expectation from going to the arcade, and then you see this thing, and you're like, oh, wow, this is just hot vomit garbage.
E.T. didn't destroy consumer confidence like that did there was no predecessor.
That's the thing. And you're like, I don't really get it. Like, I'm not seeing – you know, you could make a game like that today, and it would be considered to be kind of like an art piece, I think, maybe, like confusingly artistic.
You'd have that in the art gallery here at the university.
Right. Anyway, and people would be like, why is it arbitrarily annoying?
It's so subversive.
But no, I'm happy that...
It's about the folly of man.
I'm happy that... And we may see more like resurgence of older games, especially with movies like Ready Player One, which I watched. I think I told you I watched it last show. I really liked it. I know a lot of people were like, it's just a cash grab, a money grab, like a nostalgia thing. It was really well done, in my opinion. I think Spielberg deserves a lot more credit. And the actors and actresses, a lot of them were fairly, like to me, no-name actors and actresses. I'm sure that they've done other things that I just haven't seen. I think the main guy was the guy from the new Fantastic Four, which I didn't see because obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Kate Mara doesn't get me into that theater, for that movie.
Right.
She almost did, though.
I mean, she's a stunning woman. That movie is just terrible.
Yeah, it was just bad. But no, it was a great movie. But I mean, we may see a lot of resurgences like that. I know Atari came back with like a weird, like, I say a gas station console. It's a console that you would like buy next to those quadcopters and like the big giant gas stations that sell like fried chicken and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's neat that Nintendo, and again, to get kind of circle back on the topic before we cut to the song, it's neat that they're doing this crossplay thing.
Yeah.
Because I think that is where we need to go, where whenever you build a console or you start building a game, or in this case, like Xbox Live or Nintendo's eShop network or the PlayStation network, whenever you're building a platform for community, mm-hmm. whether it's microtransactions, whether it's a shop front, or at the very least, if it allows someone to play a game, it should implicitly and out the gate have this expectation of community, as in we're all gamers. Not mm-hmm. community as in you're blue and I'm red and you're green.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what console you're part of. It should be, hey, here's a common. And I would think, like, everybody get involved in it.
You think that'd be mutually beneficial. It's just it's just so bizarre to me that I have not seen a change in the Sony mentality since PS2.
Yeah, and I can't remember when did Kazuhai step down for a CEO of Sony Japan.
I cannot think of like one thing they've like. They've made their games better, of course. The graphics are better and everything like that.
Yeah.
But as far as like stretching out beyond that, I haven't really seen anything from that.
They're doing something in the industry that every now and then it happens in the tech industry, at least, where they look like they feel like they are ahead of the game so far, with whether it's in video games like first party titles or third party exclusive titles like Uncharted and The Last of Us and mm-hmm. at the time Kingdom Hearts, but that's now sort of bridged over. When they start looking at these exclusives, the most recently, the one Horizon Zero Dawn, that was the most recent. We're getting Death Stranding soon.
Yeah,
these exclusives.
God of War was the most.
God of War was another one from Santa Monica. We're looking. Was it Santa Monica Studios?
I believe so.
We're looking at these first party exclusives and these third party exclusives, and they're saying ours are better than yours. Like, you get an Xbox to play Halo. And you get a Switch to play Mario and Zelda, but you get a PlayStation to play all of these games.
Right.
And that was a problem when the Switch launched. They didn't have very many games. Right. And the first-party titles that were coming out, there weren't a lot of third-party. Now we see a lot more, relative to when it launched.
But the issue with that, of course, becomes you know, Xbox can fix that. There, then that's the thing, is I think people are going to start to want to develop for Xbox a little bit more because of the cross-platform and
well,
stuff
it
like
is
that.
A little bit easier, too, considering that, you know, and I can't remember who said it, but they, at E3 last year, I think, when they announced, so two E3s ago, not the most recent, but the one before that, they announced Play Anywhere, and with that, they said, you know, their developers would get dev kits, and they would get the ability to have these tools and resources that would allow them to more efficiently and quickly develop for both platforms simultaneously. So you could render it on a computer and test it on an Xbox and then build it and make changes, and you wouldn't have to do so much. It's not like you're coding two separate projects. You can code it in one and it will go to the other.
And that's brilliant, because developers can go, oh, instead of having two different teams having to work on two different versions, now they talk to each other.
It's just license costs.
No kidding. It's just The idea of that being just so much streamlined and so much easier on them, they're going to want to go for that. And Sony's like, no, this is ours. It's like, well, when I go with them, I get two different consoles at the same time. Why wouldn't
I go
with
them? Are a lot of games that are built with like cross-platform engines like Unity or even Unreal or whatever. Like, those are already cross-platform, so you're doing all of this stuff. You're doing all this work, all this development on a computer, you know, and probably a Windows computer, too. You're building all of it down there, and then you're just exporting it to a dev kit PS4 or a dev kit Xbox or a dev kit Switch. So, I mean, it's not like you are, you know, coding the game fresh every time you want to do a different platform.
Right.
But you typically do have to pick sort of like a home platform, and usually that is PC, and then compiled down and optimized for those other platforms. You know, PS4 doesn't have as much RAM as like my computer, neither does Xbox or whatever, so it has to kind of, they have to pull it back. And we saw that with like the PS3 and then eventually the PS4 legendary versions of Skyrim for PS4 and Xbox, where it wasn't bad on PS3, but you could tell it was PS3 gen graphics. So that was I feel like we ran away with that segment.
We really did. Again, we rant.
Let's talk after this song. GWK Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. Still the Experience Points Radio Show. I'm still MG.
What I say earlier, I'm always going to be me, baby.
I realize
that hadn't changed.
I just gesture with my hands a lot
when I say that.
I'm just like, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. We're back. That was GWEK Culture is Dead by Kirby Crackle.
He hits me all the time. Not from intentional, just is very expressive.
We were, I got flailing arm syndrome. Wacky waving arm flailing inflatable tube man syndrome.
Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. Hi, I'm Al Porrington from Al Porrington's Wacky Flailing Fluid. Ah, gosh, I used to be able to do it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I got so close.
We were talking about cross-platform, and we hit on a topic that I guess is kind of a segue into what we're going to talk about now. And that's community. That's the ability to play together, be together, you know, as gamers.
I think that's the theme of this episode.
Community. This show. No.
It was a good show.
Dan Harmon, wow. He said some things.
Man, they put Yahoo Video on the map. Let me tell you, six seasons of that.
Man, there's so much stuff. You know, we haven't talked about it. Maybe let's talk about, I don't know, you want to talk about the James Gunn thing? You want to interrupt what we're doing right now to talk about James Gunn?
No.
Or do you want to try to stay on topic?
Are we like a politician? No, let's talk about games and stuff. I'm sick of hearing about everyone's opinion
about
everything.
This is going to be the good show, and then we'll come back with maybe James Gunn.
No, listen
week.
To our opinion about this thing.
All right. So 2 years ago, it's going to be a start with a downer note. 2 years ago in August 2016, a lot of people in Louisiana flooded. Because it was this horrible, just tons of rain, just bad stuff.
Yeah, it was a bad thing.
Anyway, my house flooded. Mm-hmm. And what I was doing on the day that my house flooded was I was playing the release. It was that night or that midnight or whatever was the release of No Man's Sky.
Right.
2 years ago, almost to the day. And I was playing this, and it was just this uneventful sort of this experience that I was having. It didn't look bad. It didn't look good. It just kind of was blah.
It just was.
It was a game. It was an experience, but I don't think that it was a very good one. And everyone had much stronger, I guess, feelings about the initial sort of
event. It was hard to feel like completely outraged. There were refunds issued and everything like that, and
People I guess people didn't have people had expectations of this game changing video games. I think.
Yeah, that in a way. It was kind of being pitched like that, I guess.
That's Sean. I can't remember his name, but from Hello Games, you know, he was through a series of interviews, kind of built this thing up to be so much bigger than it actually was. What we saw, and that was sort of the thing, it was you kind of burned a bridge of goodwill with the community.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see, after 2 years of updates, 2 years of dedication from Hello Games team, we see that with the latest 1.5 update that released yesterday at around, I guess, noon our time, it's called Next, No Man's Sky Next.
Yeah.
Free download, free update. If you have the game, you have it now. It's stylized, all capitalized, Next.
Yeah.
We see that this is more true to the original vision of No Man's Sky. And you and I were talking about it during the break, and you said, you know, it's so easy after that much negativity, especially in video games, to just give up. And that's really unfortunate, because I played this probably 3 hours of Next, of No Man's Sky Next. Mm-hmm. And I've got to say, from beginning, like I haven't really spent much time with No Man's Sky since the flood, and I haven't, like,
right.
It's not like I have PTSD because I play No Man's Sky and I relate that to flood. That's not it.
Right.
It just genuinely wasn't a good experience to take me away from No Man's or from Horizon Zero Dawn or Tomb Raider or Mass Effect or Zelda or whatever. But I moved into the house, My fiance and I are getting married in October. We're going to officially move in October, but mm-hmm. I'm kind of staying in, like, the apartment side of the house. And I have the office set up. I have the internet. I have my computer set up. And the first game that I really felt compelled to play was No Man's Sky, oddly enough.
Weird.
I open this up, and it says, you know, hey, there's this thing coming, this big DLC coming. I'm like, oh, I'll wait.
Yeah.
So I waited until yesterday to play No Man's Sky after the update. And I have to say, starting brand new, this game is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It looks fantastic. There's a host of new features that are going to feel very new to me, mm-hmm. Or very, very packaged, like they were in the game the entire time to me, because I didn't know that they weren't in the game.
Right.
If you don't have the game, and you would like to play it, but you were kind of initially turned off with people saying there's actually no multiplayer.
Yeah.
There's no interaction. There's no base building like they was said they were going to have. There's none of this actual gameplay. It's all there now.
Yeah.
It's all there now. I wanted to go through some of this, some of the, I guess, patch notes, some of the feature lists, and kind of discuss some of the cool things that are in there now. And this is ignoring all of the previous stuff. Like, they've added base building. They've added a bunch of alien races and a bunch of types. That's all there already.
Mm-hmm.
This has all been added, we're about to go through, this has all been added yesterday, 24 hours old.
Okay.
And this is kind of like a condensed list, too, because there's a lot. Like, my printer was dying when I was printing this out, so I haven't experienced a lot of this. Some of this, though, I have. So, a ton of in-game content. In fact, this marks the start of weekly content updates.
Whoa.
That will be completely free, microtransaction-free.
Good.
From Hello Games into the game, into No Man's Sky. Free for all players, no microtransaction. You can take part in community missions to unlock rewards, customizations, lots of really cool stuff. One of the really cool things that I thought was that for Xbox streamers, people that are streaming from the Xbox, the rest of the players in the world can interact and try to inhibit or help those streamers. Like, if you know the planet that they are on and they are playing in sort of a public capacity,
uh-huh.
you can go and you can help them or not help them.
Oh, nice.
Which is sort of inviting griefing, I think, but, you know.
Maybe.
Maybe a little bit.
A galactic war erupts over a stream.
right. With the release of No Man's Sky Next, they also are releasing the Galactic Atlas website, which is sort of this community-dedicated site hosted by Hello Games to show and showcase these really awesome finds and discoveries. Throughout No Man's Sky, one of the things is, like, when you find fauna or flora or you find some type of animal or a really cool base, you can always upload that and contribute to this sort of big, you know, codex of all of these things in the universe. They tout a quintillion sort of permutations and variations of everything. It's all procedurally generated. Everything in the game is procedurally generated. Nothing is generated and stored and saved on the disk itself. That's why it's only a 5 or 6 gig download originally. The update itself was 6.5 gigs, though, so it's doubled its size. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get to see all of these really cool sort of high points in the galaxy that other players and also Hello Games is going to kind of go to. Mm-hmm. And it's going to act like a regional hub, so or you're going to show regional hub to be able to go there. All of the baseline core substances have been reworked. All of the materials that you would mine have been reworked. Mm-hmm. They've been rebalanced and everything to increased or decreased depending. Mm-hmm. All of the resources that you would get on the individual planets have been expanded to include unrefined and refined versions of them. So you can now build a refinery. You can take it with you. You can place something on the ground and pick it up called deployable tech. You can pick that up and move that around with you, which is really, really cool because they reworked the entire inventory system too. Like the entire inventory system's reworked. They added third person view. It's really, really great.
Excellent.
The crafting component is. I always like the crafting component of other games, especially Horizon Zero Dawn lately, because that's what I've been playing. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be really, really neat because I don't remember the crafting component being very compelling in the first version of the game.
I can't remember what it was in the first one. So
it was just very blah. Like it seemed arbitrary. It seemed like, okay, turn this crank, get this thing, do this thing with this other thing. Yeah. Now there's actually some interest for me in that crafting component because you can throw things into sort of this machine and just see what comes out and kind of discover different things. Kind of like, I remember this old Apple IIe game where you do the same thing. You put a bunch of like elements in there and hit the go button and it would just like process it into something. And it was always cool to see what it would process. Mm-hmm. You can do that now. You can experiment with different, it's called refiner recipes to see what's going to come out. I guess on that said, you got refiners. You can refine ferrite dust, for instance, into concentrated ferrous or something and build something out of that. It's very tutorialized, but it's also really natural, which is kind of good. Like, I hate it. You know, I think everyone goes to Batman Arkham Asylum when they're like, oh, you're Batman, you're the Caped Crusader, and then Alfred's telling you how to throw a batarang. Because that's how tutorials work.
Oh, yeah, Batman's like monologuing to himself.
Oh, yeah, he's just like, I need to throw and hit the buttons. And you're like, I'm the detective. I'm the knight. Yeah, I don't need you to tell me that.
Yeah. But you gotta learn how to learn through the game anyway. So,
as far as procedural tech, I said earlier that like everything is procedurally generated. Now there's actually these really interesting procedural sort of random components that help the suit that you're wearing, the exosuit you're wearing, your tool that you're using, your starship that you have. There are these modifications that are sort of procedurally generated as well. So it's not like you are getting sort of, it's more like Borderlands-y.
Yeah.
Where you're gonna get yeah, exactly. It's more of a raffle. And it's less of a randomization of like roulette these things together and you'll get a gun that does this and this and this. You can get really cool, you can get really bad. It's mm-hmm. really neat. I love this aspect because there's replayability with that.
That's neat.
There are buried ruins now, and you can get what's called a terrain manipulator that sort of levels the terrain or raises the terrain. So you can actually dig into the planets because, again, everything's voxels, everything's pixels. It's real. It's all procedurally generated, which is
crazy.
From a technical standpoint, like I could just go on and on about how crazy that is, but there's buried technology at the end of the day. You can use that to get new base parts. You can like analyze it and discover new base parts. Mm-hmm. There are different creature types now that allow flocking and herding and really cool.
Oh.
There's grazing. There's different behavior as far as these animals are concerned. Yeah. You can feed them and kind of become friends with them and really neat. And now it's really neat because they act like sentries for you. And that's just like a super short. There's an entire subsite of No Man's Sky's website dedicated just to Nex. So I could put it in the show notes. But
now I would love to see those Leviathans that they first sent. the trailer would be awesome.
I know there's so much more to the game story wise after you complete like the sort of not linear story, but like the story that they've supplied for you.
Right.
They're branching out, so you can still be part of this thriving, always expanding universe.
That's good.
I haven't built a base yet. I tried doing that about a year and a half ago. After they introduced the base building mechanic, I tried building one. I just lost interest. Well, now you can share your bases. You can build your bases anywhere on a planet. As long as you have the resources, you could build it anywhere. There were like siloed zones that you mm-hmm. were kind of constricted to earlier. Now, not anymore. You can get a third-person view, and you can actually team up, get people next to you. And this is sort of going back to the community aspect. You can see other people in real time. You're not just a floating dot.
Yeah.
You are a full-blown person. You're a full-blown person with an exosuit. You are now fully multiplayability. You can start and play the entire game with a friend.
Nice.
If you can find each other, if you can get to each other, you can build transporters, you can play together. And that's fantastic.
That's
I love
good.
That.
All right. Speaking of more DLC.
Speaking of more DLC, this is a DLC show.
This is a DLC. This is a community online show, I guess.
Do you play Grand Theft Auto 5 at all?
It's on my hard drive still. I mean,
it takes too long to delete.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. Did you ever play GTA Online?
Yeah, I played it a little bit.
There's new DLC out. It's the After Hours DLC for Grand Theft Auto Online, and it's different from how previous DLCs have worked with Grand Theft Auto Online. Previously, there were like somebody would call you and they'd say, "Hey, you need to invest in this new building, this new business, whatever."
Right.
And then that would like kickstart a series of like in-game missions, and it would maybe give you new cars or extra money or extra just mechanics to online.
Uh-huh.
And After Hours does all of that, and then it keeps going. Mm-hmm. It gives you several hours worth of content. It gives you it integrates sort of like you end up owning like a nightclub at the end of it, and it becomes a hub for all of your in-game activities, all your selling of drugs and your selling of guns and everything. It looks really, really well done. It actually ties in Battle of Gay Tony from Grand Theft Auto 4.
Right, yeah, that character.
It's really, really neat, and I'm happy that they did it. I will be 100% honest. I haven't played past the first DLC, because Grand Theft Auto 5 is an investment in my time. And I don't want to work so hard in the online space for... Yeah, it does that thing where it's like you could buy Grand Theft Auto money. Or you could just work for it. And it's totally fine. People work for it all the time. I just don't have the time to do it.
And that's what they're counting on.
Yeah, and I mean, it takes millions of dollars of in-game currency to unlock the full features of this, and it takes a lot of time. And it's less about the money of the in-game currency, because that's just fun money, whatever. It doesn't actually exist. It's more about the time for me. So.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like you're being punished for not having enough free time.
Yeah.
And that's not cool. That's not good game design. I don't like
that. No, but, you know, I do trust Rockstar. And everything that they're doing here, I feel like they're learning to make the next game that they do, whether that's, you know, Red Dead sort of like almost here, so I don't feel like they're refining.
Yeah,
they're not doing core gameplay mechanic changes.
Yeah.
You know, but the next game, whether it's Grand Theft Auto 6 or whether they use Grand Theft Auto 5 as a platform and they expand it into story DLC like Battle of Gay Tony was, I don't know. I'm excited for what's coming next, because this is just laying the foundation and the groundwork for that next thing.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Let's talk about let's exit the show after a song. We got one song. This is the IT
quick.
Crowd by Super Powerless and Friends. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show, exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm still doing that thing with my hands.
Yeah, you're still animating with your hands.
Man.
I'm Dustin.
Sorry.
I don't animate
you can't
with
see.
My hands.
No, you're sitting on your hands.
I just kind of have them right here in my lap.
That was Super Powerless and Friends with the IT Crowd. Mm-hmm. Another Experience Points Radio Show episode has come and gone.
That's it.
Thanks for hanging out. If you aren't listening to this live, chances are you're already at the website. But if you are listening to it live, just know that we have a lot more audio online at our website, exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap that P.
It's where all the cool kids are.
We have iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music podcasting services. We are syndicatable. You can find us online, and you can catch up on all of the backlog of antics. We are 100% up to date. I'm not losing that.
Ow.
We got Thor to cut all of that audio together. We are going to keep up to date with it. So.
I tried to burp into the mic and go, syndicate that.
Syndicate that.
But I ended up hurting my chest.
that's karma.
No.
So anyway, this show is going to be online in just a matter of minutes. If you want to hear it again, if you're listening to it live and you want to hear it again, in a matter of minutes, it's going to be there.
It's a show so nice you'd listen to it twice because you're a maniac.
That's it. I really wanted to talk about the James Gunn thing, but I didn't want to leave on like a sad note.
I don't
note.
Care about, everyone's got a different opinion about everything.
Because you said the Dan Harmon thing earlier about Community, or you said Community.
Yeah, Dan Harmon.
And then
I
was like, Dan Harmon and James Gunn have kind of gotten into this hot water. More James Gunn.
There are two very different boats, though.
There are very different boats, and then there's Roseanne being crazy
and then Roseanne is
somewhere
like,
else.
No one's going to try to defend Roseanne. People are mixed with
She's
James
so
Gunn.
Upset. She's so upset that people are defending James Gunn because of what the joke that no one understood from her. And I'm like, you didn't make a joke that no one understood. You were just
sort of just a racist. Incredibly racist.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and you know, is it okay to be racist? I don't really care. You could say whatever you want, but if people are going to treat you differently or boycott your show because
of
it,
then real quick, my recap is, you know, Disney should have done a little more due diligence on James. Yeah, you're a family company.
Yeah.
But then again, when you find out about something like that, you can't just go, well, happened in the past. You can't really do that.
No, but
Because then people freak out about that.
I feel like this is coming on this is coming at, like, in the midst of a 20th Century Fox merger deal. Yeah. They don't want to rock the boat. So, okay, I get it. But maybe after this is done, maybe you'll hire him back after he's agreed to counseling or something. I don't know. I don't really know.
I don't know.
I want Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I think he's a great director. I think he's been doing a great job.
Yeah.
You know?
But I could separate the art from the, you know, these are just the jokes, the context of them, and how many there were are just very, it's very hard to defend.
It was. No, it's very difficult to defend.
What happens is someone, he gets up there on the Comic-Con booth and some mom gets up there and asks him, you know, why did you make all these horrible, horrible jokes? You know, and, you know, yeah. I've got kids and we go see your movies. That becomes a really bad, awkward moment, doesn't it?
I can get it. I definitely have hopefully by the time I let my kids look at, you know, 10 years of Twitter history, they'll be old enough to learn what the difference between a provocateur / joker, whatever thing. Like, you're just going to say stupid crap. I would hope at that point, like, they wouldn't be like, all right, let's go see Guardians of the Galaxy 3. It's made by a bad man.
Yeah,
No one has a concept. I bet so many people didn't even know James Gunn was. You know, yeah. before this came
and
out.
That's the thing. This is a difficult thing. It's just from the Disney aspect. I see where they're coming. That's one of the tough things. You could see both sides with this.
I wish it was less politically motivated because it seems really, yeah,
and
really,
that's
really
what kind of pushes
angled.
It over to me of like maybe like Jim Gunn. I probably would have gone the route of, I'm not sure about firing, but Jim Gunn needs to make a statement of, like, you know. I said I was going to talk about this.
I was like, hey, yeah, we're not going to talk about it. This has been the Experience Points Radio Show. Next time, we might talk about something that's a little more fun than James Gunn being fired by Disney. But check the website. Check all this stuff. We're going to leave you with one song, though. This is 20% Cooler by Ken Ashcourt. Thanks again for hanging out. I've been MG.
I'm Dustin.
This has been the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU. It's so frustrating. You get me to talk against my will. Harvey Weinsteining me.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. You
your
wanted
power
to talk about
to make
it.
Me speak.
You wanted to look at me. You wanted to talk about it.
So creepy.